The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3. Presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon. Happy Tuesday. Appreciate you joining us on a wintry afternoon. Hopefully you're safe, sound, and warm. But like the roads weren't too bad coming in.
Pretty easy. Like it's wet. Yeah. You know, almost rainy at this point, but I'm sure it won't take long after dark.
And probably drive home might be interesting.
Yeah, and commutes in the morning probably be a little dicey until the sun gets up and gets a little shine on the roads. But yeah, right now it's just kind of wet. It's just sloppy out there. But not terrible, but I'm sure the worst is ahead of us.
Love to get your thoughts and your comments in on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com. You can also access that through the DoubleT973 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank. All guests join us via the Benchmark hotline. And we are one day away, almost 24 hours away from the Red Raiders hoping to get win number one on the season. Fardaz Amak is now injured again with a bruise on his foot. I don't think that he's been ruled out of the game against West Virginia, but certainly that is a situation to monitor. Although I guess on the flip side of things, and maybe balance that out, Daniel Baccio has found his cat, which I guess had been missing
for a while. Yeah, and his family's in town.
So kind of good news, bad news.
Yeah, I think Baccio's crew's in town. I think I saw that family in town for the first time in maybe ever since he's gotten to Lubbock or something. I thought I heard Coach Adams say that. I missed the time on it, but I thought it had been a couple years since he'd seen his family. So that's
he hasn't seen emotional. Her. Hasn't seen her since summer of 2020.
Goodness. So I'm sure at that point, COVID and that sort of thing probably made the international travel dicey at best. So yeah, so good for him and good for them, and hopefully they have a good trip. They got here just in time for some winter weather, which, you know, they're probably thinking, well, this is like back home, it snows every once in a while. Like, well, it might be our one snow for the year, who knows. But
hopefully.
Yeah, hope so. But there's no doubt that we all need it. Prefer it being a, you know, slow drizzling rain over, you know, for a day or two, but we'll take the snow.
Do we need it badly?
I think so.
I never know.
I know, and I don't. Yeah, I think filling aquifers and all that kind of stuff, and getting probably. I don't know enough about the agricultural situation, but I would think that I don't know enough about it to be able to speak to how important snow is in January, as opposed to once the seeds get planted. But you hear people talk about that, like you know, that if it's just dry all winter, it's not ideal.
What about how important snow is in like July?
Yeah, we'd probably welcome it. You know, in July, when it's 105, we might go, you know what, this feels pretty good.
We will have nothing for you on the air tonight after we end. There were going to be some basketball games on our family of networks tonight. Friendshippers were going to be in action. The Cooper Pirates were going to be in action. But, of course, the snowy weather has forced a lot of cancellations, a lot of postponements. I saw that the cheer meeting for Lower Bush Middle School has been postponed. So that's a big deal. And also, you had an event.
Yeah,
that had to be postponed.
Got First Spitz Luncheon postponed. And you know, tons of cooperation from the Civic Center and everybody, insurance company and the Texas Rangers and Texas Tech and Lubbock Christian and Josh Young and all. Because, you know, sometimes you get a bunch of moving parts and try to reschedule something. And it's like, oh, hey, this works for me, but not for him and this and that. And I mean, it was a seamless transition. Moved it from this Tuesday to next Tuesday yeah, it was all good because Emily thought she was going to be okay to get here. Like her early flight was okay, but her bigger concern was getting back. She said her husband's out of town. So then she was like, if I get stuck here, my kids are, you know,
right,
stuck at the neighbor's house, or can you go pick them up, you know? And then she gets stuck here, and so she was like, hey, I'm not coming. She said, but I, you know, we were discussing the idea of not having it anyway. And I said, as soon as I can talk to somebody at the Civic Center, we'll postpone. If we had just been forced into doing it, I probably would have done it. And there probably would have been 50 or 75 committed people down there, but prefer to do it on a sunshiny day when we can have 220.
You know, you've talked about how this isn't like officially, this is kind of a de facto stop, but not an official stop of the Rangers caravan, right?
Yep.
Is this perhaps a benefit of that because you can be a bit more nimble?
Yeah, probably. Yep, no doubt. And they redated the media packet thing that they sent to me, and for the media that's going to be there. And we had probably going to have cameras from all four TV stations there, or representing all four, and our very own Raymar Communications, DT97.3 and Score 100.7, was going to be over there collecting sound from Mr. Josh Young. So we'll have that to look forward to next week. Then why not? You know, we're excited about his future. And I mean, the Rangers have something to talk about. I mean, beyond just Josh, but this is, you know, this is a pretty good chance for Josh Young to be the starting third baseman on opening day, and, you know, go be the American League Rookie of the Year. Hey, I'll cheer for you.
Sure.
Yeah.
Some thoughts rolling in on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. You two can weigh in. DT973.com. Someone says, sure will help sprout some winter wheat.
There you go.
And someone else says, moisture pre-plant is always a good thing.
There you go. Right there. That was the premise.
Could there ever be too much?
Yeah. You'd have to get one of them to answer. I'm sure a flood zone's not ideal.
Yeah, probably not. So Mark Adams saying that Fardaw's AMAC is, quote, quite honestly, he's not close to 100%. He's got a bruise on that foot.
Same foot?
The same foot that he injured already.
I'd go it.
And then Adams also pointed out that, you know, he's still working on his conditioning.
Sure.
AMAC, not Adams. Yeah. Although Adams might be doing treadmill or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Adams acknowledged that that Bacho is still kind of working his way back from that illness, not totally healthy, but he'll be ready to go against the Mountaineers. Man. Wow. And you know, like,
it rains and pours, doesn't it? I was thinking about this.
Snows.
Yeah, that's true. This spring, Chase Hampton had a illness going into about the Texas weekend, and it was about a month before he was really good again. And even though he missed just that one little start, the kid got his brains beat in, you know, for a couple weeks, and it was really a problem because they couldn't quite finish off series and get sweeps when they needed to, and this and that, and then right there at the end, he got his legs under him and started dealing, and he was a sixth round pick or whatever. Like, well, that kind of didn't work out the way he wanted to. He found out he was draft eligible, but he, you know, sometimes those illnesses really knock guys for a loop, you know, when it's a real one, not just the sniffles.
More tech talk next. Dun dun dun.
It's every Red Raiders favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from DT97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hey, it's the Juice on DT97.3 and DT97.3.com with Gus and Kyler and Clint. I'm Aaron. Time for some headlines. The McDonald's All-American Game rosters were unveiled today, and the Kentucky Wildcats, the struggling Kentucky Wildcats, have four signees of the 22 on the roster. Bronny James, LeBron James Jr., was included. The game will take place March 28th at the Toyota Center in Houston, Texas.
So you're saying that's good?
It's good.
Yep.
Yeah, it's good. LeBron James is interesting, though, Bronny James, because he's not some kind of like
he's not
one and done type.
No. And yet his dad's kind of talking that game, like he wants to play in the NBA with him and speed that thing up. But I don't know that he's...
And he hasn't committed anywhere yet.
Right. I don't know that he's a one and done draft and ready guy. It feels like he's a little more developmental.
How about this? Bill O'Brien will return to the New England Patriots after agreeing to a deal today to become their next offensive coordinator. 53-year-old O'Brien spent the last two seasons as the offensive coordinator at Alabama under Nick Saban. He'll be tasked with improving a Patriots offense that dipped notably in most key areas this season, including third down efficiency, first down, sacks allowed, touchdown scored, and red zone efficiency.
Yeah, that'll be a big deal because they need to get him going in the way that the Giants provided the structure to get Daniel Jones going, because this time last year everybody thought Daniel Jones was a lost cause and a terrible draft pick and all that, and now all of a sudden a little bit more structure and organization around him, and it's like, hey, they're on to something. And so I think the Patriots are trying to get there with Mac Jones, and I believe that means Bama's now looking for two coordinators, right?
They are. And ooh. I think Alabama fans are kind of happy about it, right?
Well, they did lose two games this year. Heads need to roll.
And I don't think this is a coincidence, Gus, that Kyler is at the controls for this headline segment, because of course there was a Big 12 basketball game last night.
But we're getting Alex Morgan news or what?
And no, but the Kansas Jayhawks lost to Baylor. It's their third consecutive loss. And suddenly the rabid KU basketball fan is nowhere to be found.
I know, like he's sitting in the back, just tucked in back just there.
Not making eye contact.
look at Kyler just sliding the microphone over there. Here we go.
I'm still here.
Okay.
I'm still here.
How you feeling?
I mean, not happy about it, you know, right now.
Heads need to roll, pal.
I want to revisit our conversations that we've had over the last couple of weeks. I don't think that the two best teams in the Big 12 are in the state of Kansas now. I think it's now Iowa State and K-State.
You'd have to, right? Yeah. I mean, Kansas State's sitting at the top. They play tonight. That should be a really good game there in Ames. I'm predicting a Kansas State loss in a close, gritty game.
But gritty.
Right now, I mean, Kansas isn't playing like a top team in the conference. They're playing like a 3-5.
Kyler and I are looking at each other like, damn, he just said that. We're over here looking.
I mean, he should be.
How about that snow, Kyler? Wow. Not the soccer team.
You too can join the program. We'd love to hear from you on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at TT973.com. Somebody asked this: when do the Big 12 baseball coaches vote on who will win the Big 12? Because we're now less than a month out.
Yep. I don't know when that actual vote takes place. Probably here in the next couple of weeks. You know, they don't really have everybody go to one place media days. I think every school has their own sort of media gathering. But yeah, I would bet that. Are you looking up the timing of last year's?
I am.
Usually within a week or two of the season starting. By early February.
The preseason poll last year came out January 27th.
Oh, all right. Okay. Nice. And they probably won't put that on top of a big basketball day or anything. But, yeah, that's
And that was good. That was a Thursday.
There we go. I'm sorry. All Thursdays are tied up for the near future with their reserve for football schedule releases.
Man. So to refresh your memory, last year Texas was picked to win the Big 12 in baseball. Pokes were picked second. They had one first place vote, and then Texas Tech third, followed closely behind by TCU and then Baylor.
And TCU won it, right?
I mean, you would know this better than me.
I know. I think that's right. I
guess I don't really ever remember as much about the unless Tech wins it, but it's more about kind of who ends up in Omaha.
Sure, man. I agree. We're fortunate as a conference to usually have one or two or more up there, and you know the other level would probably be who's hosting. But yeah, I imagine that that stuff will be coming out here pretty quick. With the first pitch luncheon next week, and probably I assume Tech will be doing their Kegels event and that type of stuff. So we're getting. I mean, it's not at the same level as the kickoff luncheons and the Knights of Columbus and those type things, but there's a certain cadence to it, a certain rhythm to it, and we're about to get to that point. So yeah,
that's how I approach the football off season. Right, yeah. there are all these kind of like
little boxes, markers,
yes, that need to be checked off. Right, yes. Like there's media day. Mm-hmm. There's like Dave Campbell's coming out. There's Phil Seals coming out. There's the media poll. There's the kickoff luncheon, et cetera.
Yep, I agree. That was what was one of many things that was disruptive about just
COVID
sure. pandemic, and even when we got to playing again and stuff, just, you know, not all the gatherings and things like that. And so it was nice to be in rooms and crowds and just sharing all that
stuff. So next week could be very crowded because you have your event on Tuesday,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
We will have a Big 12 schedule, I would sure think, next week sometime, if not earlier. Hopefully, hopefully right now, but I'm not holding my breath.
That would be a violation of many. I mean, so much has gone okay. No, even when it wasn't January 17th, or late January. Well, the last day of January is next Tuesday, so.
And then you're out of town.
Yeah, got a couple days be in Omaha. I think somebody texted me and goes, did you see the high in Omaha? It's going to be 11. I go, I'm not going to be outside in that. I mean, I guess I'm going to walk from the airport door to my vehicle and then go to the hotel for 2 days. You know, we got an event in the TD Ameritrade or whatever, now it's called Charles Schwab Field, where, you know, College World Series, we've got an event in that stadium club level, so I guess I'll...
How's the Wi-Fi there?
I don't know. Never, I guess I've been on press row, it seems fine there. You said Wi-Fi, right?
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question, but I'll, I'm not going to be outside. Oh man, it's 3 below. Yeah, you know what? I'll be in bed. I'm going to go ahead and sleep in the room that night instead of out on a park bench. So I don't really care that it's 3 below or 5 above or 10 above or whatever.
That philosophy has always informed my clothing decisions, right? Because it's like, why am I going to bundle up
sure.
if it's 30 outside when I'm literally just going from my car to the studio?
Right. Door. The real measure is the length of time, because it could be 50 with a little breeze, but I'm going to go out and watch baseball or sure. something. Like, yeah, I need to dress a whole lot warmer there than if it's 25, but I'm going to be in it from, like you said, my car to, you know, the door to the car or vice versa. I mean, the time element's more important than just the pure temperature. You know, I'm pretty confident that I'll be able to get a ride from the airport to the hotel. I don't think I'm going to have to walk the 3.5 miles. Were I to do so, I'll dress warm. I'd like to be notified ahead of time.
Would you take your luggage with you, or would you just try to get that shipped?
Yeah, I know that'd probably be a shipment deal there. If I truly had to walk that deal, because that'd be
life-threatening stuff. Suddenly, a lot of things become very expendable.
It'd be some life-threatening stuff.
Don't really need that shirt. I can buy another toothbrush. Yeah. This laptop's old anyways.
Yeah, I last year when. Early January, I went to Chicago for the ABCA convention. The very last thing I did was check the suitcase from Lubbock to there. And very last thing was to take not this big heavy coat, but my big heavy. I don't want to have that thing on the plane with me all day, you know, which is a no-no. You keep that with you, you know, with your medicine, with your, like, carrying a backpack that's getting checked in and pushed onto the seat, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Keep the medicine, the vital stuff with you. I'll be fine. I get to Chicago, and I've got, like, a pullover. I got less than you've got, maybe, like, what this is. It was, like, 7 outside. I got on the subway and walked around downtown and just sucked it up. That was rough.
More Tech Talk next.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Gus and Kyler and Clint. I'm Aaron. We're joining you here until 6 o'clock. We'd love to hear what you have to say on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com. All guests appear via the Benchmark Hotline. This on the chat line, you guys are soft compared to Sports Talk in Dallas. They are straight talking. What would you like some straight talk about? Okay, well, they texted in 5 minutes ago and we were talking about something else. I'm told that Mark Adams' basketball buyout is $7 million. Guess he's safe no matter what, unless he starts doing stuff like Beard did. And I paraphrase that last part. Yeah, I mean, we've mentioned his buyout.
Goodness.
Seems like the last week.
Every day for a week.
It's actually a little north of $7 million. I think that it's actually 60% of whatever is left on his deal. It was just extended after last season. I don't think he's safe no matter what. I think that it's unlikely, based on the number that he would be owed, they would make a change after this season. But if the record gets bad enough and donors are motivated enough, then that certainly could change the calculus. If you want straight talk, 0-7 is terrible. This team shouldn't be 0-7. You are one of the least talented teams in the conference. That is a failure of roster construction. That's a failure of evaluation. That's a failure of, I guess, development too in some level, but that's kind of a minor one. And all that is at the feet of the head basketball coach, Mark Adams, period, point blank. You're either coaching it or allowing it to happen. Hopefully that's straight enough for you, but be sure to let us know if you feel otherwise. Steven says this, I did put on a jacket this morning, normally wear a vest and a beanie. Yeah, you came in rocking like a full-on overcoat.
Yeah, I was
expecting like you to plop a Tommy gun on the table or something.
Yeah, I should have. Top hat, a nice fedora.
Know what a Tommy gun is?
Yeah.
You do? No?
Like a gangster machine gun
with like the circle thing, the circle magazine,
like you'd see in the Untouchables or whatever. Yeah,
she's kind of
Al Capone.
She's never seen Untouchables.
No, Al Capone right there. Well, you're missing some of the finest work.
Not really.
Of Mr. Never mind. That was all about this. All of this is about the stage. I was going to be on stage today in front of a couple hundred people.
Will you wear the same thing next week?
I may very well, yeah. Yeah, I might as well. Let's see where my black hair, yeah.
We're not like digging ditches. You can just go home and hang this back up.
Yeah, exactly. And I probably will. But, until about 9 o'clock, it was all systems go. I would have been doing the Josh Young interview instead of Emily. That's about it. Would have been carrying a little extra load. Would have been doing my best to represent the Texas Rangers in a public forum. But
if you ever hit a slow spot, you should always bring up like Debbie Does Dallas or something like that.
It's true. Based in the thing's based
sure,
there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's right up the road. Yeah. And Josh would have, I mean, that's all about teeing Josh up just to, tell his stories. And I really legit can't wait to hear just his, I hope he'll, because I think at an event like this in January, 300 miles away from any major league media or whatever else, no events to any of us, but just to be able to say, hey, what was it like to hit home run your first bat? Come on, because Josh will, that'll be neat. And if I had to guess, Josh is going to talk about when my mom and dad were there, my brother, that'll be. Got to talk to my brother after the game, those kind of things that end up being the thing you hang on to the rest of your life. Hopefully it hits hundreds more just like it.
You see Oklahoma State has filled a vacancy on their staff?
Yeah, they've defensive staff, D coordinator stuff, and there's a Red Raider connection and all that too.
Really?
Yeah. One of the Tim Duffy.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, he's a DB coach.
Yeah, he's the passing game coordinator now.
Yep, he's he was on Spike's last four or five teams. Was a starter, linebacker, DB, something. But yeah, he was, and I think he's been on Gundy's staff for the last 10 years on the defensive staff.
Brian Nardo is the new defensive coordinator for the Pokes.
Interesting resume.
Yes, that's one way to put it. He's coming off of one season as the defensive coordinator at Gannon University, a Division II program in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, we're either about to, and we've given on this show, we've given Gundy. You have led the charge in being very complimentary of Gundy's Rolodex.
Sure.
So I guess he gets the benefit of the doubt on this hire. But my goodness, that's going way off the grid there from what we would have probably expected. Because he didn't even go get like a D2 head coach.
No. How about this? So Nardo, easily one of the best coordinator names in the Big 12 now. He was a student coach at Ohio from 2004 through 2008. Do you know who he overlapped with?
All right.
With the Bobcats.
2004, 2008. University of Ohio. Initials, please.
I think it's OH.
Oh.
Right? Ohio?
Come on. I was going to ask for the initials of the person you're trying to get me to guess.
I feel like if I gave you the initials, it would be
okay.
Away.
Go ahead.
Kirby Hokut.
Oh, duh. Yeah.
Yeah, Kirby Hokut was the AD at Ohio from 05.
Sure.
Oh, wait. And now, do I think that he had some kind of like extensive, like, you know, personal relationship with some student coach for the football team? Probably not. But I'm sure they've been in the same room together at least.
Sure. Yeah, good catch. Yeah. Good point.
Then he went to Emporia State after a stint as a GA with the Bobcats. Yeah. It seems like he's been kind of D2. He spent some time at Youngstown State, I guess, FCS, and then back down to D2 at Gannon University. That's an interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, Gundy is either the smartest guy in the room here,
right,
in terms of identifying a really promising, rising young coordinator, or this is bad news. This in the Yates Flooring Center chat line from our friend Shelley, who says, D2 Nardo, good luck, Gundy. All of that sounds like a weed strain or a horse name.
Well, I mean, that's because you know there's folks within their fan base saying that, and there's probably others going, hey, trust Gundy. He's gotten a lot of these things right, and he has. But, man, I mean, you know, I don't know enough about it. Is there something incredibly innovative about this guy that he's been – you know, he's the master of the, you know, 10-1 defense, of the 2-9 defense, of the, you know, some way off the grid deal or what. But I mean, again, this isn't even going and getting a head coach.
No, and it's not even some kind of long time established.
Right,
he was just the coordinator for the 1 year. He's apparently a disciple of some kind. Of John Heacock, the D coordinator at Iowa State. That's the kind of defense that he runs. And, you know, we'll see how that goes.
If it doesn't go well, that'll blow up in his face.
This in the chat line, pardon, but what the hell is Oklahoma State doing? They lose like 18 players. Now this coaching hire, are they trying to self-sabotage? Maybe Gundy is trying to silent quit. Is that what it's called? Quiet quitting. He's quiet quitting.
Yeah. Just playing out some. He's, you know, collecting his check for a couple more years. From our perspective here, we hope he runs him down to about 2-10. Just shoves him down into a deep, deep hole, right?
More Tech Talk next.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3. Presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon. How you going? It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Gus and Kyler and Clint. I'm Aaron. We'd love to hear from you on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com. We get this critique on the chat line. Y'all spend more time talking about Oklahoma State football than Texas Tech football. Well, I guess, I mean, that is probably true. If you counted all the minutes that we've spent talking about Oklahoma State over the last, I don't know, 3 weeks compared to Texas Tech football over that same time period, you're probably right. Probably spent more minutes talking about the Pokes. But they've had more stuff going on, which is a function of their disappointing season.
And it's, yeah, this is a no news is good news time of year.
You don't want to be talked about generally.
Not right now.
In January.
I mean, because the one thing that hasn't been included in this on Oklahoma State side or Texas Tech or really anyone else for that matter is Joe Blow from Podunk High School committed. We're not talking about that. We're talking about bigger, more overarching things like coordinator changes. I mean, we were all over Tech football when we hired Juice.
Sure.
Right? I mean, so, you know, but that for the – it's good to not be in the middle of that conversation right now. I mean, Tech did get a couple more commitments, and these would be in the next class a year out, and so that's the other part. I mean, not that that's not important, but it those get to be hard to follow, right? You know, I'm not talking about somebody that we may sign here in a couple weeks. We're talking about
yeah. I mean, you've landed your quarterback for the 2024 right. class, Will and Hammond,
and he's been offered by everyone, Penn
Tons
State, Auburn, you name it.
Very exciting addition. I just don't know how much people really care about. Right,
four-star running back, but that's what I'm saying. These things are a year out, and so anything can happen, and you know that information's available out there if you're really into that sort of thing. But there's exciting news about the recruiting class. I mean, what's lined up for next year's class goes right in line with what's already signed, and you know what's coming. The trend line is good.
Speaking of Juice, I did learn yesterday that he's agreed with a 3-year deal.
Yep, that's good.
At Texas Tech. So it's a multi-year arrangement, and that seems to be more common now, not just at Texas Tech, but everywhere where you're giving. Because it wasn't that long ago, Gus, and maybe this is like the old person in me coming out, but it wasn't. I mean, 6, 7, 8 years ago, everybody was on a year-to-year deal, except for the head coach.
Right.
Even coordinators mm-hmm. were on mm-hmm. year-to-year deals. And now, not only are coordinators getting paid as much or more, you know, than kind of lower-level group of five head coaches, but now you've got assistant coaches on multi-year deals making $500,000-plus dollars a year. You've got strength coaches that are making a lot of money. So just another example of how much the money has creeped into the sport.
Your case in point there, one of the MAC head coaches left to be the offensive coordinator at Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Colorado. Yeah, that's right. Head coach in the MAC and a group of five to coordinator. Seemingly backward step, but more money.
I would think that, I mean, I guess it kind of depends on how much value you place in kind of being your own boss.
Yeah.
Or, and not even that, but like controlling your own ship, you know? Because I would think that quality of life, Colorado versus, where was he at?
It was
one of the lower tier MAC programs.
I can't remember now. Yeah, I'm with you.
Kent State, I think.
Yeah, that may be right.
Yeah, it was Kent State. The Golden Flashes.
There you go.
So, yeah, Boulder, Colorado versus,
but
where is even, Kent, Ohio?
Yeah.
More money versus less money.
And if he was a younger dude, it's hard to say. He may view that as the money and maybe the contract offset, the year commitment offset to be able to go, okay, well, I've got 3 years here or whatever.
I mean, he's 36.
Yeah, but that's the key. I mean, at 36 years old, probably not a guy looking for the legacy move yet. I don't know the dude, but guessing he may see a better pathway to becoming a Division I head coach from being a successful Power Five coordinator rather than being in the MAC and struggling.
Oh, sure. Because, I mean,
have success.
You can go into an interview, provided, right, if we assume that you have some level of success with your offense with the Buffaloes, go, hey, listen, this is what I did at the Power Five level, you know, as part of a brand new staff. These are our recruiting wins. And, you know, this is my resume from my time at Kent State, 5 years as the head coach there, 2 bowl games, which hasn't happened since blah, 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 blah. And these are the lessons that I've learned. That's a pretty attractive candidate.
Yeah.
You know, for certain situations.
And really wouldn't fire as a head coach.
And still be
a
young guy. Right. Yeah, yeah. He left of his own volition.
Mm-hmm.
This on the chat line. Coaches and ADs way overpaid. You know who I thought was always super overpaid?
Joe Namath in his last couple years when he was with the Rams. O.J. Simpson right at the very end with the 49ers.
You know how much Matt Lauer was making a
year?
By the time that he got, you know.
Yeah. Oh, he was huge
can.
Money.
Yeah. He's making $25 million a year to host the Today Show. Like, it's not easy, right? I'm not saying it's just kind of roll out of bed and just go, you know, YOLO it. But still, $25 million a year to host a morning show.
It was a thing on the 90s documentary, and one of them, you know, all these different topics. One of the, you know, there's probably 6 or 8 episodes, and one of them was like the East Coast versus West Coast rap stuff, which
sure.
bubbled up and got violent in the 90s. And one of the shows, one of the things on the show was the morning show wars of the 90s. And Matt Lauer was hired during that stretch. But it was, you know, it had Katie Couric in there and all that. And it was just talking about the massive money and the massive margin that they competed for. You know, they're competing for, because there's a crap ton of eyeballs, certainly back in the 90s. And just how it was it was blood and guts. And even some of the antics about going and getting, you know, if they whoever the story was, even if it was a little salacious, and bringing them in, and they'd be sitting in the ABC studio, and NBC would sneak an intern over there and go, okay, if you'll come with me, blah, 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 and walk them across the street and get the interview. I mean, just like, oh my gosh, yeah, it was fascinating. But I'm surprised to hear $25 million, but I knew that they were paying a ton. Yeah, because Bryant, at the early part of the 90s, Bryant Gumbel was in that,
mm-hmm.
and then was kind of, you know, it seemed like he was sort of being a Richard about a lot of stuff, and he got booted. And then, you know, then Good Morning America passed the Today Show for the first time ever, and oh my gosh, heads rolled here, and just all the different things. It was just pretty interesting.
That seems like something that us millennials will end up killing.
The morning news thing? I mean, the morning show,
sure.
That Today Show type stuff. Yeah, it could be. Yeah, that's.
And,
I mean, it's definitely.
Hasn't there been some drama with Good Morning America and some co-hosts that have been
let go or suspended
uglies?
Or something? Yeah. Like one was single and one was recently divorced and been seen in public together, playing tummy sticks.
You too can join the program. We'd love to join or hear your thoughts and comments on the 8th Floor Center chat line at TT973.com. Somebody points out that Oklahoma.
I said we're talking about laptops, just for the record.
Uh huh. Somebody points out that Oklahoma State is currently and will remain in the Big 12, last I checked. That's true. That is the expectation. That is true. We will not have any live programming for you tonight.
You know, it's pretty rare to look up there and see what we see on Wednesday and Thursday, because usually there's part of that is because there's a game tomorrow at 6 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
at home tip off at 6. And so a lot of the things around it, but we, you know, we're obviously done with NFL regular season and there's no Rangers games or whatever. That's an empty square on Thursday. And to this station's and to Raymar's credit, there's rarely an empty square up there, so that's pretty cool.
Wednesday, we'll of course have the Red Raider basketball game with coverage beginning at 5 o'clock. Friendship will take on Midland High on a Wednesday, rescheduling of the games that were set to be, take place tonight. And the same goes for Cooper taking on Lubbock High. Those games also push back just one day. More mm-hmm. Tech Talk next.
It's every Red Raider's favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Dr. Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today from the First United Bank Studio, here with you for two more hours. Love to hear your thoughts and comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com. All guests appear via the Benchmark hotline. Hope you're having a great snow day.
Yeah, a lot of folks with the little day off right here in the middle of the week.
Mm-hmm. Not us.
No.
Nope, not us.
No.
But if you're out there and you're just chilling at home, or if you're at work like us, thank you for tuning in. How about this? Davis Webb, former Texas Tech, former Cal quarterback, spent some time with Buffalo, is back with the Giants, started a game, mm-hmm. right?
Scored his first touchdown.
He did.
Mm-hmm.
He apparently, I didn't know this, Adam Schefter reporting today that Webb was offered last offseason the quarterback coaching position at Buffalo and turned it down.
At the University of? No, or the Bills.
The Bills.
Wow. That's respect.
and he turned it down because he wanted to continue to play.
Sure. That clock only ticks for so long.
Sure. But now Webb is, according to Schefter, considering making the jump to coaching for the right opportunity. How about that?
Well, I would think quarterback coaching the Bills right now is not a bad time to be in the game, right? Might be hard to screw that one up. Bills have a pretty good product to work with there in the quarterback room.
Although it kind of seems like they've gone a bit backwards. It's almost like they were this plucky, young, exciting story a couple of few years back, when they lost in the AFC Championship game to the Chiefs in 2020. Year after that, they lost to the Chiefs again, this time in the divisional round. And, this year they lost at home in the divisional round.
Yeah. I would be
just.
They kind of got worked the other day too. That, yeah. I mean, they really got pushed around. Yeah, and he, Allen didn't play great. I mean, they really got it taken to him on both sides of the ball. We touched on this yesterday, I think, but in very broad terms. But if I remember correctly, Cincinnati came in having thrown, like, Burrow threw the most passes this year by percentage of just total plays. And he's obviously plenty good. And they're the 29th team in rushing in the NFL. And they came in there and shoved Buffalo all over the place at their place on the snow. Like, that's a bit of an indictment there, or it's a ringing endorsement for the Bengals. Because we talked about this yesterday, I think, in the context of the Bijan Robinson, where he'll be drafted and those type things. And neither of the Cincinnati running backs, both OU guys, Mixon and Perine, they're not, by NFL standards, they're average, I think. Maybe one's a little above average, I don't know. But we're not talking about breakaway super threats guys. They divide their work. One of them may be a little bit better suited at throwing it, and they're both strong dudes and probably good at good guys to hand the ball to on third and two. But it's hard for me to look at it and go, oh, that the offense was this or the defense was that. Like, yeah, they play in a division where nobody just stinks. Even the Jets had their moments this year. Like, the floor to that division was
right.
Elevated. Patriots weren't terrible. Dolphins made the playoffs. Jets made a push this year. Yeah.
Clint, are you worried about like an all-time terrible sports week for you if the Chiefs end up losing this weekend?
I am concerned about the game. My all-time horrible sports weekend would have been this past weekend if the rolled ankle would have led to a loss to the Jaguars. Yeah. That would have been awful. Because, I mean, on top of obviously KU dropping two in a row, you also had
Now three in a row.
Yeah, you also had Texas Tech losing to Kansas State.
Right.
And it had to be to Kansas State. When, again, you had a first half like, okay.
Some life
second,
here.
Yeah, and then second half.
No, they're dead.
And so that would have been the loss. That would have been ultimate awful bad sports weekend.
Although, if they were all out there this weekend and Mahomes is clearly limited, right, by the ankle, and they lose, isn't that kind of an excuse that you can use to comfort yourself? Like, you know, injuries suck, really unlucky, would have had him with a healthy Pat.
It would be easy to lean into that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like
easy to lean into that.
I would be all about that.
I'm not going to act like I'm a Chiefs lifer by any stretch, but I'm all in on their success and his success, and you know, were he to somehow end up playing for the Chargers next year, I could see me sort of waning on the. I'm probably, you know, I'm not as tied to the uniform as I would be the St. Louis Cardinals or whatever, but I.
Why would you say that?
I'd be a little. Teams. I'd be a little. Whatever, Carolina, but the.
Wait, what are you mad about, the Chargers or the Cardinals?
Yeah, I think the Chargers. Yeah, oh. It was just the divisional thing.
I would have said it sooner, but I was too busy throwing up back here thinking about
Mr. that. Mr. AFC West over there. If it was Chuck and I said the Raiders, he would have come through that glass.
Well, that's the worst one.
Well, it is. I mean, but for the guys my age and older and Chuck's age, the Raiders-Chargers deal was the Raiders-Chiefs deal was full-on hatred. Cheap shots, they were out to kill each other.
Spitting at players.
Oh, no, like spearing them and full out brawls and the whole deal.
Ending careers.
Yeah, for trying to.
LH asks, can a quarterback coach be pressed into service as a quarterback? What with this 17 game schedule? I don't believe so. But hey, that's awesome for Davis Webb, man.
Interesting.
You've had a pretty, I mean, think about it. Cliff, obviously, we know his coaching exploits. Sonny is the head coach at Louisiana Tech. Seth is an assistant coach at Purdue. Davis Webb wrapping up his playing career, transitioning into coaching. Pat, you know, doing Pat things.
I mean, I hope we're set up for 15, 20 years of McGuire success and an all-time legendary statue building outside the stadium someday level of success by Coach McGuire.
Where would be the best place for a McGuire statue? When the time comes,
it'll probably be over there on the west side, facing the. Although it's hard to say. I mean, the new with the new stuff going on, we might have a new anchor area on the southeast side down there. It's hard to say.
How about what about
on south end maybe?
What about we go? This is of course assuming he reaches unprecedented heights.
That's what I'm rooting for.
Let's. What if we put like a roundabout somewhere around the stadium, and then in the middle of the roundabout, a gigantic statue.
I like it.
Like the one in Berlin.
Nice.
Alternate question: If Texas Tech turns it around basketball wise, do we have a statue of Bacho's cat outside the USA?
Good point. I think
AMAC's foot.
I think you're. I think all the. But we're talking about maybe some guys that are positioning themselves to be the next head coach, hopefully 15, 20 years from now.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that angle.
This has been the Tech Talk Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of TT973 podcasts at TT973.com.